When you open your Mus'haf, no matter which kind, you'll find all sorts of symbols and divisions on the margin of the page, and sometimes even within the page itself, stating this is one quarter, Hizb, Juz, and so on. It is even kind of a known established fact among Muslims that the Quran contains 30 Juz, or parts. Some people even think that it is 30 because Ramadan is also 30 days. And among children, Juz Amma is the most famous. But have you ever wondered where that division came from? And why sometimes these divisions are different from one Mus'haf to another? Was the Quran divided like this by the Prophet, peace be upon him, or the Sahaba? Well, let's start by answering the last and the most important question. Was the Quran divided like this by the Prophet, peace be upon him, or the Sahaba? And the simple answer is no, they did not. In fact, the Sahaba divided the Quran into seven juz, seven parts only. Each part contains a number of whole surahs from beginning to end. So, part 1 contains 3 surahs, part 2, 5, part 3, 7, and part 4, 9 surahs, part 5, 11, and part 6 is 13, and part 7 is called Al-Mufassal. And to give you an idea where they start and end, part 1 contains Surah Al-Baqarah, Al-Imran, and Nisa, and the 5 surahs of part 2 from Al-Ma'idah to Al-Tawbah, and the 7 surahs of part 3 are from Yunus to Al-Nahl, and the 9 surahs are from Al-Isra to Al-Furqan. Part 5 then contains Al-Shu'ara to Yasin. Part 6 is from As-Safat to Al-Hujurat. And the 7th and final part starts at Surah Qaf till the end. And it is called Al-Mufassal, which in English is the separated part, because of the many frequent separations, or basmala, between each surah and the next, since the surahs from here on are much shorter in length. So this was the division made at the time of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. The Quran was 7 parts, not 30. It didn't contain hizbs, quarters, 1/5, or any of these divisions. So now there are 2 main questions. If that was a division at the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, where did that other division that we have today come from? And is it then bad or haram to do it otherwise? Well, first of all, it is not 100% confirmed where that other division has originated. But many scholars and historians stated that the most probable source of it was the ruler of Al-Iraq during the 2nd century of Hijrah, Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi, who divided the Quran based on the number of letters and divided it into 30 juz. And since he was the ruler of Al-Iraq, this type of division was very common there. And after this, it was taken over by others and adjusted to the variations we see today. So these divisions are forms of ijtihadat, which is why we see differences from one mushaf to another today. It can be very useful and easy, especially if you are memorizing the Quran. But is it then bad or haram? Well, it is important to clearly state that no one had said that it is haram, prohibited, or it is a sin in itself. That is not what any scholar had said, especially because this division is made with the purpose of making learning and reciting the Quran easier and more accessible. However, it is not the better or the proper division of the Mus'haf. And now you might be thinking, dividing the Quran into parts won't really matter if it is 7, 10, 30, or even 60. What is the problem with that as long as it doesn't change anything about the Quran itself? Well, as we said, the division was made by the Sahaba who lived with the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. So if it was wrong or there was a better way to do it, the Prophet, peace be upon him, would have told them or instructed them on that matter. So this alone makes it a better division in itself. Secondly, this division includes whole surahs in it, which means that if you want to read one juz, for example, and then stop, this won't result in splitting the surah and start or stop where it is not an optimal place to do so. In the divisions we have today, however, they divide the Qur'an in areas where, if you start or stop at them, you would be stopping at an incomplete meaning or starting at an ayah related to what was mentioned before, since this division depends on quantity rather than the content of the surah. For example, if you want to start reciting at juz number 5, you will read at an ayah that is actually added to the previous one, which is supposedly then at the end of juz number 4. So starting here doesn't really convey the complete meaning. You have to start from before. And the same thing happens if you start at juz number 9. You will actually find yourself in the middle of the story of Prophet Shu'aib. And examples are many. Here's another at the start of a quarter in juz number 22. Which from the translation, you can obviously see that this ayah needs more context to know who the ayah is talking about and to whom is this message, unless you of course start reciting from before it. So following this division closely by stopping or starting with it, especially if you are in prayer, makes you read the Qur'an in a way that is not really meant to be. More importantly, it gives the wrong idea that as long as it is the start of a juz or hizb or so, that it would be okay to always start or end there, even in prayer. That's why the phenomenon of reciting part of a surah from the middle or the endings of a surah during prayer, which is extremely common these days, was almost never heard of at the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his companions. What they did was that they would recite, for example, Surah Qaf, and that would mean that they would recite it from beginning to end, without splitting it. In the prayer of Fajr on Fridays, the Prophet, peace be upon him, would recite As-Sajda and Al-Insan, which means he would recite the full surah, one in each rak'ah, not a part here and a part there. And when Umar ibn al-Khattab would lead prayer in Fajr, he once prayed with Yusuf and Al-Hajj, which means that he read the full surahs from beginning to end. That's what they were used to. Not necessarily a long surah, but a full surah. So this was the norm to them. Reading a part of a surah in prayer once in a while is fine, since it was reported that the Prophet, peace be upon him, once did that in prayer for Surah Al-Baqarah and Al-Imran. But it was never reported that it was the thing that he would do normally. So constantly reciting parts and endings of surahs during prayer is not closer to the sunnah. So if you recite, for example, Surah Al-A'la and Ash-Shams in prayer, would be closer to the sunnah than making a habit of reciting some ayat from two different surahs. Again, no one said it is haram, but it is not closer to the sunnah. That's why the Sahaba followed the divisions of surahs revealed by Allah, and in their division of the Mus'haf, they included whole surahs, and they didn't randomly split the surahs according to how many letters or words you have read. So, what do we do now? Well, first and foremost, don't take the current division we have today as part of the revelation that has to be followed closely when reciting the Qur'an. These spots are not always the best place to start or end, especially if you are in prayer. So, if you want to read a part of a surah, you can recite what is easier for you. فَقَرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْهُ. But pay attention to the meaning of the ayat as much as you can. And if you can't do that yet, then pay attention to the stopping symbols and follow them closely. And if you have the time and the ability, then reciting a certain surah from beginning to end, especially in prayer, would be your best option. Thanks for watching. If you want to start reading and understanding the Qur'an in Arabic, then you should start your journey right here. And don't forget to check out my latest book, which goes perfectly with this free course. I'll leave the links for all of them in the description, so check them out. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you next time.